tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. My name's Jonathan Nadeau. Welcome to Embrace Your Storm, and we've got another exciting episode for you. As always, this film is going to be at the Tornado Music and Film Festival at Foxwoods on May 26th, 27th, and 28th. Look more at the website to find out more about that. And today we have on Stefan, and he has his film here, Midwater, that's going to be at the festival. So, Stefan, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So before we get to Midwater and all that, like, how did you get involved in even like the creation of film and the writing, directing? Like, how did you get into this industry?
Okay, so since I'm really young, I'm a movie enthusiastic. I love to watch movies. I love to collect it, you know, VHS after DVDs and now Blu-rays, you know. Always love to have movies, watching movies. Really young, I start to want to be an actor. So I was living in the south of France in a small town named Nice. But we had like a lot of movies coming for shooting, like James Bond, Ronin. We got like a lot of big movies coming. So when we have those movies, they hire locals to be background actors. So I started to be like a background actor when I was like 15 or something like that.
No kidding. Were you in the James Bond movie?
GoldenEye.
Nice.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, just the background, you know.
Yeah, no, but it's still cool though, you know.
But yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I did, I was in a movie, like two movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No kidding. Which ones?
Maximum Risk and Double Team.
Man, no kidding. That is funny. Man.
So I really like it. I really enjoy to see, you know, how it works, all the process of making movies. Then I decided I want to be more than a background actor, you know, like really want to be on the camera. So I got a couple of small gigs, you know. But at some point, in a small town like that, if you want to move up, you know, the ladder, if you're in France, you have to go to Paris.
And, yeah.
I don't really like the life in Paris. You know, in Nice, we have the ocean. We have the sea.
Is that more near Cannes or whatever?
Yes, exactly. It's like literally like 20 minutes away from Cannes, like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Away. So we got like a nice life quality.
One thing about France, I might be wrong. Doesn't the government support a lot of film, very heavily, like that you get a lot of like monetarily support from the government, right?
Yeah. We have like,
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Is that why a lot of movies go record there, go film there?
Yeah, exactly. No, the government is really supportive for French movies. They want to spend like French culture, you know, and everything. So that's why.
What if Americans go to record there, though, film there? It's not the same thing, right? It's only French like citizens.
You have to be a French, and the movie has to be like a French movie.
However, my last name is Nadeau. Does that count?
Yeah, why not? You gotta try, you know.
I hear you. Je m'appelle Jonathan Nadeau.
Yeah, that could work. I would try. You know, it won't hurt.
But that's awesome. Like, I think I don't know if there's another country. I feel like somewhere else in the EU, there are other countries over there though that are way supportive of not just necessarily art, but film in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I know Spain have like good tax incentive.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's like, yeah, a lot of places. That's why a lot of big production go to a film in Europe, because the tax incentive and
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's really cool. So that you got kind of the bug, you know, being extras and stuff like that. What was your next move then?
So yeah, so at some point I had to go to Paris, and I'm like, ah, I don't want to quit on my life quality, you know, to go to Paris. However, a couple of years earlier, my dad took me to Los Angeles, you know, for visiting. And Los Angeles is pretty much like the south of France time 100, you know, like
Really?
way bigger. We have here the sun, we have the ocean, we're like 2 hours away from the mountain. We got like, you know, like people are nice and everything. So I'm like, ah,
yeah,
let's try over there. So at the time, I didn't really speak English. I didn't have no paperwork.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have. I mean, I spoke, you know, the basic stuff that you learn in high school.
Yeah. Well, your English is really good now, so.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying, you know, to always to improve.
Well, dude, your English is way better than my French, so.
Let's see if you go to France for 12 years. Your French may be better than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I guess. Hopefully, I better pick it up by then.
Exactly.
If not, I have a feeling I'll be kicked out.
No, we'd be good. So when I arrived here, you know, I start to go to an acting school, you know. That was funny because my first scene that I have to do in front of people, I was really into it. But when I was done, I look at the audience and they all like look at me like, what the fuck just happened? You know,
they didn't know what happened.
So I'm like, oh, damn, I really have to work on that.
Right, because you felt like you messed up and everyone was like astonished by what they just saw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I start to go to some auditions and stuff like that. And, you know, like LA doesn't wait for you. When you arrive, you know, like,
yeah,
like 10,000 of people like arriving every day and the same amount of people leaving,
seriously,
you know, the same day. Mm-hmm. So I've been to some auditions for, you know, when you read the descriptive on what they're looking for, I'm like, oh, they're looking for me. That's me. That I'm this guy, you know. So I went to the audition and I end up in a room with like 50 guys like me.
Right,
you know.
I never thought of that. That must be not intimidating, but you're like, oh, I'm the perfect guy for this. You walk in the room and like, wow, there's 50 perfect guys for this.
Exactly, you know, so I'm like, oh, damn, the choice, you know, it's tough. So I'm like, okay, I have to make myself a demo reel, you know. I bought myself a camera and then I have to learn how to use the camera. At the time, you know, I bought myself at Sony and they used to give like free classes for people who buy the camera. So I used to go every week over there to learn like more and more in detail how to use the camera. And then I start to use my camera to film myself, film some friend of me, stuff like that. Then I realized now that I film the stuff, I have to do the editing, put everything together. So I got myself Final Cut, took classes, same.
Man, you didn't mess around.
Thing, you know, it was like a pain in the ass on the really long process.
Yeah.
And down the road, I kind of like managed to make like a like decent, you know, cut and everything. And some of my friends want me to make their own demo reel, you know. So I start to go like shift like slower and slower behind the camera.
Yeah.
And I figure out I enjoy more, you know, telling the story, like telling the actors what to do, putting my camera somewhere, putting the light, putting, you know, like trying to get something. Like it's like making a puzzle. You put all those pieces together and at the end you have like a full picture.
Yep.
And I really enjoy that. And more I start to go behind the camera and start to direct. And I did like a couple of short film. I did like some commercials, like some stuff like that. And I really enjoy it. And I'm keeping going, like, you know, like drawing and having the ball rolling.
The thing I like about your story is like, I went from, you know, France to LA. I didn't speak English, but I went there and then you had to learn English. And they're like, yeah, I had to take this class because I didn't know what I was doing. And then, yeah, I had to take this class because I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, that, but like, you didn't let it stop you. You just kind of kept, all right, I guess I need to learn this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people need to see, like, I think a lot of people hear stories and they're like, they never think there's hurdles or anything that gets in the way of someone, but people always have to overcome stuff, you know? And it's just,
exactly.
I'm just trying to point out, you didn't let anything get in your way and, you know, you got it done.
Exactly. And especially nowadays, you know, there is no excuses because we have like
seriously
so much knowledge accessible, you know.
You know what? It's funny that you said that. The interview that I did right before you, an older gentleman, he's in his 60s. He said the very same thing. So I was like, because he was like, you know, people are lazy these days. He's like, there's no excuse for anyone not to do whatever they want because you have the internet, people. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this guy grew up when the internet didn't exist. Okay. So like, exactly. he knows what it's like to not have internet and to know what, it, you know, he's like, so he knows you're all spoiled that, you know, that have the internet now, but you're right. Like there's no reason why nobody can do what they really want. If you really want to do it, there's nothing there to stop you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, as human, we always find like a good reason not to do it, you know, like,
totally.
Oh, I can do that because I've got my friend over, I've got my parents, I got to pay my bills, I mean there is like so many excuses not to do it. But when you put everything aside, you know, and it's just you in front of a wall and you have to mm-hmm. climb that wall, you know, just figure it out and find a way. Yeah.
So what is it about, like, kind of the producing, directing and stuff like that? What is it like, is it cathartic or like therapeutic? Like, what is it about that kind of process for you that you find enjoyable?
I'm a dreamer. Sometimes I just daydream, you know. And I have like, you know, I'm asking myself some like questions, you know, about life, about humans, about everything. And sometimes it's just like, oh, damn, let's make a movie about it. And I just put something together to make like, you know. The way I make it, it's funny because at the beginning, you know, I'm so much into it because I'm pretty much doing everything myself, because that's the thing with like low budget. You know, you don't have money to hire a DP, to hire like an editor, to hire a color guy, you know, like, so you really have to figure out everything yourself. So when you have like a question in your head or like an idea, you know, and you just make something to answer that question or to bring that idea to life and you see everything coming up. To me, it's like, you know, like a painter, like just finished to make a painting, you know? And
no, totally. It's like the musician that has that song in his head and he's able to get it out.
Exactly. You
know, he's able to get it out so everyone else can hear it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, totally. I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now bringing that into like Midwater, because this is such a, now hearing too how you recorded that, how you filmed it, it's really interesting. Like let's talk about that and kind of what gave you, you know, the idea to do this.
Okay, so Midwater, if you see the actress in it, she's my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was she your ex-girlfriend at the time?
Yeah. She's a really big actress in France. So we
date,
you know, and she came to visit me in LA and we were like talking about doing something together, you know, like a film, like because she sings too. So we did like a music video, we did some stuff. And I'm like, I want you, you know, to make something in English. So, you know, if we stay together, I mean, it would be good, you know, to try to expand your career here. So like, yeah, totally. And I have that idea to shoot something underwater. I didn't have the concept yet. And for her, she's really like into like, you know, like a paranormal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Death and everything.
Yep.
So I start to get that idea having like a, you know, like a, like some famous people stuck together, you know, in the afterworld. Yeah. So in that case, it's more like a gangster, like Al Capone, Eazy-E, and Butch Cassidy, like a gangster from different era who meet each other, you know, and get stuck to each other. They don't even know that they're from different era. They don't even know, you know, but they're just here, okay? And they stuck. And there's nothing to do and everything. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool story, but what can make it a bit cooler? And I just go to the pool and like, why don't we shoot everything underwater? And she's like, yes, right. I'm going to shoot in English underwater.
She's like, let's see how much more difficult can we make this?
exactly. So I had a friend of mine who did like big movies. He was doing like CGI and everything, you know.
Oh wow.
And I started to talk to that about him, about that to him. And he was like, oh, no, that's not possible. You need to add that. And I talked to a few people and more. They told me that's not possible. And more
it makes you want to do it.
Exactly. More
I'm like, I hear you. I hear you.
So I called a couple of friends of mine, especially Nick Gomez, the guy who played Butch Cassidy.
Mm.
You probably see him. He was in Walking Dead. He was in Dexter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in the new TV show, She-Hulk. He's going to be one of the Marvel characters. I mean, he's an amazing actor. And when I told him that, like, oh, yes, definitely, let's do that. Let's do something in the water. So he just wanted to follow me.
And that's awesome. Like,
oh, great. You know, so I keep on. I called another friend of mine, Deshante Williams, aka Smooth Galaxy, the guy who played Eazy-E.
Yeah.
He's a dance performer and everything. And like, I'm in. If you need me, I'm in. And my other friend, Jean-Marc Mineo, who played Al, is like, okay, count me in. So I'm like, great, I've got a cast. Mm. So I start to work on the story itself, you know, why this character would be underwater. Why would they talk and why would they get stuck and everything? And then was time for the pre-production. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, you know, you have cards, they have stuff on the table, you know, how to have everything that they can use but wouldn't fly away. I have to get like a metallic table, like put magnet on everything, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, we had to hide like scuba diving tanks under the table. So when they need to breathe, you know, they can take a break and breathe.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it was like a lot of logistic to make it happen. But
there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, we take us like 2 days to shoot. I don't know if you noticed, but I mean, the easiest way to shoot something like that is to do like close up on each other. You know, they do one sentence, you cut.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't want to be stuck to that. So I wanted some wilder shot when you see all of them, you know, in the table interacting with each other. However, they can't see each other. They can't hear each other. They can't speak, you know. So I have to come with that system, you know, with a metallic tube. When I hit it, you make a sound. So one knows that sound corresponds to what you have to say. When I do a different sound, the other one knows that you have to respond and stuff like that, you know.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it was like really like interesting and thrilling to make because I've got all my actors who literally trust me 100% with their
do it.
So, and the end, I mean, I'm really happy with the end, with the result.
It's a really great film.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to mention? Like, is there any other projects you're working on in the future? Do you have a website you want to aim anyone towards?
I do not have a website. I used to have a website. I had like a company named Shadow Fox, but because of the COVID, you know, it kind of like
fell apart.
So we have to bounce on a different thing. However, I'm working now. I just finished a script named Like a Needle in a Haystack.
Yes.
Which is a strong female hero who been through some like dramatic experience. She's a reporter, and because of the investigation she's working on, her husband get killed. She get left for dead. But instead of having like you know, like all these revenge movies, she doesn't come back for revenge. That's the opposite. She just try to run away from society because now she's traumatized. She cannot hang out with people because you know, she's afraid of people. And the only connection that she have with the society is the cop in charge of the stuff, you know, her case, who comes to visit her from time to time. And one day when he's visiting her, there is like a plane full of narcotic who crash in her front yard, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So the cop tried to save the day, you know, but the drug dealers come to pick up the drug and shoot the cop and like injure him badly. So she grabbed him and just tried to run away to save him and save herself. And the whole story happened it's about her running away.
Right.
And she find that point when she start to regain confidence on herself and her friend, just to give her the strength to make come back after for a possible sequel and everything. But it's more like a redemption movie, you know?
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on with my friend Chad Conley. We write the script together. And now I'm trying to make it happen, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. So yeah, if you guys want to check out Midwater, don't forget to come to the Tornado Music and Film Festival. It's going to be August 26th, 27th, 28th at Foxwoods Casino. There's going to be links everywhere on this post and everything. You'll be able to find it. Don't worry. And Stefan, thanks for coming on, man. I love Midwater. Thanks for your work. And we're looking forward to showing your film.
Thank you for having me in the festival. Thank you for having me in your broadcast. And I can't wait to see the festival.
me neither. We can't wait. So everyone, Thanks for listening and downloading. And don't forget to embrace your storm. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.